Good morning. Appreciate mentioned at first, sir, the people who put that stuff together. Those are powerful things, those bumpers, and they're skilled people that do that, and we are grateful. I thought the worship team did great today. I thought the bass player was particularly good. So, there you go. We've been going through a series in church in the Gospel of Mark. And if you were here a couple, 3 weeks ago, we left off with the story of Jesus with the disciples in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and there were some other boats around there as well. And you remember the story, the scripture says it was a furious squall came up on the Sea of Galilee to where seasoned fishermen, seasoned boat guys were shocked, and they were terrified, it said. And they called on Jesus, who was asleep on a cushion in the boat, and he got up, kind of looked at him, said a few things, and then he rebuked the winds, and then he said to the waves, "Be still, quiet." And the scripture says it became completely calm. And probably not just around the boat, the whole lake. Whew. Of course, the disciples were going, "What in the world just happened?" And they're talking amongst each other, and they were terrified, and they were speaking to each other, and they said, "Even the winds and the waves obey him. Who is this?" Thus, we moved out of there into a little, short little series on who is this based on the prophet Isaiah's words 700 years prior to when Jesus came, 700 and some years, that basically told us who this is and gives us four really amazing descriptive terms for this Jesus. But before we do that, in fact, my scripture today is only two words. And I'm going to talk about it in a little bit. And sometimes we just whistle through scripture so fast, we don't see what's going on. And I thought, just to kind of bring that home a little bit, got a little video of my grandson Marquez. And I'm going to put it on the screen. And I want to just, it's 3 seconds long. A lot going on. So let's see what you can pick up in this video. Okay. Okay, that's it, 3 seconds. And I'm sure you saw some things in there. Pretty intense about mixing. And you say, was that fast speed? No, that was regular speed. Pretty intense on what he was doing there. Marquez was the star of the show. But sometimes we'll look at that and we'll go, oh, that was funny. But we miss a lot of different things. So I'm going to show it one more time. We can't slow it down with same speed, but watch closely. Okay, so now we kind of pause it. A lot of stuff going on there. You see Marquez, the kind of the star of the show, he was so into it, slips, whew, flies off the counter. Roro, his little daughter's there with the head down. She's looking for some of that pumpkin stuff. They're making a pumpkin pie, flying on the floor. I think she thought maybe a little bite to eat. You got Matt over there going, what's my boy doing? What's my boy doing? And, of course, the person taking the video is my daughter Bethany. And so all that's going on. But did you catch all that when it was going so fast? Probably not. And did you see the magical fork just whew, standing right up straight there? It's an amazing thing. So today, here's the scripture. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. All right, Lord, watch over our time and yeah, we prepare for these things. We get ready. I'm sure people have been praying about this, but we want to hear from you. I do the best I can. The people that speak do the best they can, but it's not really us. It's you. So we're going to trust you to take what is said and make it work in our hearts. I pray that as a result of this, we'd come out of this trusting you more than ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two words, Everlasting Father. I'd have you stand up and do the scripture reading, but it'd be a real short one. Everlasting Father, that's it. So we're going to take a look at that today. And you remember, it was told to us that this little son, this little child that was born, has these four amazing characteristics describing him. And ours is Everlasting Father. They call him throne names about the king. This whole section's about him being a king. It's the king is seen in his qualification for ruling. These are the things that, yeah, he's qualified to rule. This is what the king will be. This is what the king will be like. Wonderful Counselor. I mean, that's God wisdom. That is supernatural, nothing of humanity. It's God wisdom. What he is, what he gives, God's wisdom. Mighty God, not just strong a little bit, but mighty God. The word is omnipotent, all-powerful. His power cannot, it can handle anything, all-powerful. Prince of Peace, we'll talk about that on Christmas Eve, but today we got Everlasting Father, so let's break that down. In ancient times, many kings claimed to be to the people under their care as, I'm going to be your dad, I'm going to be your father, I'm going to be your father. And in this particular case, an everlasting father. Bible describes God with many characteristics that can only be representative of God himself. For instance, often you've heard, man, that guy's a real faithful man. Well, yeah, he's a faithful person, but probably has slipped here and there, not totally faithful. But God, when we call him faithful, totally. It is an attribute of him. He's nothing other than being faithful. That guy's pretty strong and powerful. Well, maybe he is. Maybe he could lift a certain amount of weights and pretty strong. But when we say God is powerful, he is all powerful, total. And we could go through all of his attributes and it is totally who he is. In this case, he is everlasting. That means he had no beginning. That means he has no end. He is everlasting. Now, if you stop for a moment and think about that, for some reason, I can kind of grab the never end part, but he's always been. That one kind of blows my little human mind. He has always been. It's just hard to wrap your mind around that, but he is an everlasting father. Mind-blowing, everlasting. So this little child, this little son, this little baby that's being described 700 years prior to Jesus' birth is everlasting, but he's also called a father. Now, this whole scripture is about a king. Talks about his government, the government will be upon his shoulders. Talk about how his kingdom will last forever. So it's about a king. But they use the word father. Son, child, but everlasting father. This whole thing is about the everlasting father. And part of me goes, yeah, but we got the triune God. We've got God the Father. We've got God the Son. They're talking about this is the Son, but they're calling him a father. We got the Holy Spirit. It can be a little confusing, but really, what they're saying is this ruler, this king will be like a father. He will be like a good father. That's what he's going to be like, an everlasting good father, a father-like king, a good father. I'm going to take care of you like a father, an everlasting father is what's being said here. Now, we just came through, not like somebody that kind of reigns for a little while. We just came through another election. Every 4 years, we've got to go through that again. And it just gets wild. So not like that. We're talking everlasting. He's going to be a good father forever and ever. Remember one time when I was in school, I ran for an office. And I was looking for some help with my campaign ads and stuff. And my dad says, hey, why don't you say you'll put a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage? I thought, where in the world did that come from, you know? That just isn't going to fit. But I did think about that. And I looked it up and sure shooting. It happened in 1928. So this whole I want to be this to you has been going on for a long time. All these promises. And this happened to be when Herbert Hoover was being elected and the Republicans said, you know what, you need to tell everybody and keep this prosperity going. It was 1928, wasn't too prosperous of times, but that you could put a chicken in every pot. Oh man, that's going to be great. And a car in every garage. We heard lots of people, lots of candidates say a lot of things about what they were going to promise during our elections. I'm sure you heard it as well. I did as well. I got so tired of it. It's like, can I trust any of these guys? But I want to do an impersonation of one of them, if I could. It was done a couple weeks ago. Kind of lame, to be honest with you, so I'll kind of come through with a little bit better, I hope. You ready? At the end of this, you don't have to say who you think it is. I had some people come up afterward, the first service, that told me who they thought it was. They weren't even close. Well, good to see you this morning. Wonderful, wonderful group of people here. Big, big, lots of people like me. This is good. We had a major political turnaround. Everybody's heard about it. People in the United States have heard about it. People in the world, global, it's gone global, have heard about it. In the universe, they've heard about it. Even in outer space, they've heard about it. Probably aliens. Know that I'll be fighting for you now that I've taken over. I will not rest. I will not sleep. No, sleeping's for losers. Until we have delivered the safest, the strongest, the most prosperous America that the world has ever seen anything like it. This truly will be the Bronze Age. No, not the Bronze Age. No, not the Silver Age. No, that's first loser. We're winners. But the Golden, that's right, first place, winners, the Golden Age. All right, and you can guess who that might have been, but you know, whatever. But we've heard it all. People are promising all these people being elected. Well, this little son, this little child, The words that describe him, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, today Everlasting Father. Now that's either a royal bombastic statement or it's the real deal. I say it's the real deal. Now when I use the word father, for a lot of you in here, that warms your heart. You had a good dad. I had a good dad. For some of you, your heart closes up. You didn't have a good dad. So that's a hard thing to swallow. He's going to be like a father to me? I didn't have a good dad. Yeah, I got a couple pictures here. I had a good family. I grew up in. Here's some pictures when I was a little kid. And I always felt like dad, I like that statement at the bottom. As my heavenly father is to me, I will be to my children. That was my dad. He was a great dad. I got my sister here today, Becky. Where are you, Becky? Right over there. She's waving her hands. Can you give my sister a hand? Becky's a great gal. Becky, be ready with that song at the end. Be ready with that song. Just kidding. But, you know, I had a good upbringing. My dad was great. There's some pictures there. You can see us, you know, different ages and stages. On the right-hand side in the upper corner on the right, those pants I had on, those are classics, man. Those are great. Always a fashion icon I was. And got the picture up here of dad and I and Luke and a turkey. And I think you can see dad and I. You can determine which one is the turkey on the other two. But great family. But I know that's not the case for everybody. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. But Father, he is our everlasting Father, our everlasting Father. I think all of us would agree that a great dad, first of all, has his children, our best interest at his heart. I think we all would agree. So a king who says he will be a good dad to us, I think we begin to understand that a little bit and can kind of picture it. And we are his children, according to Scripture. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ and surrendered your life to him, you became one of his children. That's amazing. John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We're his children. He's our everlasting Father. Romans 8:14 puts it a little bit differently. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We're the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption. He takes us into his family. All of our warts, everything, brings us right in to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Everything is at our disposal. We become a part of his family. Everlasting Father, what does that look like? Can we trust this everlasting Father? I dug deep into scriptures the best I could, and man, these two little words just begin to get bigger and bigger, to be honest with you. I looked around and read a lot. There was so many things I kind of had flying through my brains, probably too many, and I hope I don't dump too much on you this morning, but I thought, let's have at least a scripture we can focus on that shows the heart of our everlasting Father, our King Jesus. And I focused on Psalm 23, and so I thought, just to start with, I'd have you bow your head, and I'm going to read this over you and just kind of picture this. It's a Psalm of David, Psalm 23. So if you close your eyes and just meditate a little bit, Lord, kind of watch over the reading of your scripture, catch the heart the shepherd has for us, and I think you could replace the word shepherd with king. I think you could replace the word shepherd with everlasting Father. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my king. The Lord is my everlasting Father. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You can just picture that. That's the best. That's the best. He leads me beside quiet waters, not the dangerous, turbulent places where we could fall in. No, the quiet waters. He's got our best interest at his heart. He refreshes my soul, inner being. He guides me along the right paths. That's the best counsel, the wonderful counselor, for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, or as some versions say, the valley of shadow of death, which is kind of scary, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Catch the Father's heart, the everlasting Father's heart. Pretty cool, pretty cool. Trust in King Jesus, our everlasting Father. Trust his heart. He's going to provide for us like a good dad does. Always providing for us, for me, for you, from the everlasting Father's heart. Scripture said, I will lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And it continues on. He gives me what I need and the best of it. takes care of me physically, my daily bread, takes care of me mentally, takes care of my soul, even refreshes my soul the best. Everlasting Father, King Jesus. I think of Matthew 6 when Jesus was doing the Sermon on the Mount. He said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? But sometimes we get panicky, don't we? Am I gonna be okay? Verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans, for the people who are godless, they run after these things, and your heavenly Father already knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Man, he provides for us. We lack nothing. He also, according to the scripture here, provides guidance for us. We got this maze called life on planet Earth we're trying to navigate right now. It's like, oh my goodness, it's tough. But he gives us and guides us in the right paths, it says in the scripture. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of my favorite scriptures, trust in the Lord, trust in the King, Jesus, with all of your heart, with all of my heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? He will make your paths straight. He will direct your paths. And I had to remind myself as I was reading these things that just remember, it's not just anybody giving you this counsel and directing your paths. It's not going on AI, Gemini, like we talked about the other day. It's not that at all. This is the wonderful counselor, the supernatural, all-wise God showing us how to live here on planet Earth. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, who doesn't? We all do. You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. Verse 3 says he also refreshes your soul. Man, deep within the core. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, man, life on planet Earth, it can tear you up. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, it's breaking down, we all feel it, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. He even covers those needs in our life. And I could go through all sorts of other arenas where he takes care of specific needs in our life. He provides for us. He even disciplines us. My father disciplined me from time to time. I know it's hard for you to believe, but he did. He loved me. If he hadn't disciplined me, it's like one person said, I'd probably have one eye, one arm, and a peg leg at this particular point in history. You know, he loved me enough to call me on things and keep me out of trouble. The Lord does the same thing. The Lord disciplines those he loves, his children. He provides that. We could go on and on. I think of salvation. Man, we'll talk about that in a bit. He provides salvation. He provides for us to be able to be cleansed from our sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He gives us purpose. He gives us life. He provides that. He provides heaven. He walks us through this life into the next and provides heaven. I've been able to see a lot of people I love here recently go on to be with the Lord. And man, it brings me great sadness that they're gone, but great joy that he's got them covered. He provides that. With King Jesus, our everlasting Father, we lack nothing. No real needs are left off. And he does that for now and forever. Can we trust him? Can we trust him? Our everlasting Father, Luke 11 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open for them. What father among you, they're going like, this is unheard of. If his son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead of a fish. Doesn't happen. We got a good father. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. Now, Luke and I have a good relationship. When he asks me things, I might trick him once in a while just for fun, but nothing like that. I mean, that's deadly stuff there. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights who does not change like the shifting shadows. Trust King Jesus, his Father's heart, to provide the best for you. You will lack nothing. And reminder, once again, it's an all-wise, all-powerful God that is this everlasting Father and can pull this off to provide for you. Secondly, a good dad's going to protect you. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the scripture says, or even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I like that one. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table, and even in the presence of mine enemies. I think all of us would agree that life on planet Earth is a challenge. There's tough stuff we're facing. It's just a flat-out challenge. And and kind of dark and dangerous sometimes. We go through the darkest valleys. Sometimes it's just scary. You don't know what's going on exactly and don't always feel safe. What's lurking around the corner? What's going to hit next? The Bible actually says 365 times. Now, somebody in here, I trust, will look up and check this. I went on somebody else's source. I did not look all these up. But they say 365 times it says, fear not. And always in the context of God being with us. Fear not. Interesting, it was 365. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Who's talking? God. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous, powerful right hand. That's everyday life, man. He protects us and walks us through this stuff. But then we're also, as followers of Jesus, we got this enemy of our soul that's out there, the devil and all of his little troops and the minions with him. And they're always kind of watching for us to try to destroy us in some way or discourage us. In fact, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Therefore, 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, very real, very powerful, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to give a big hug to. No, to encourage. The word is to devour, 1 Peter 5:8. So we got regular life, tough, dark times. We've got an enemy of our soul wants to take us out, and he's bigger and he's tougher than we are. I tell you what, I need someone in my corner to fight for me. I remember one time when I was a child, 10 years, 11 years old, somewhere in there, back in Glasgow, Montana, all the little guys in the neighborhood, we'd all get together and go to Bundy Park and play football or kickball or tag or wrestle or whatever. We'd just go play. We didn't have computer games, so we got outside and did things. Those were good days. We need more of them, to be honest with you. We had a ball. Paul Smelzer, Pete Grobel, Jimmy Coghlan, we'd all get together and just beat on each other. It was just really fun. But one day we went over to play football, and I had a new football. And I don't know how our family quite provided that, but I got one and took it over. I was so proud of it. And we set up a little game, and we were having a great time, and all of a sudden, these rather large kind of high school boys came into our midst and started picking on us, and they were bullies. And they were not good people, and I knew who they were, and they scared me and they scared all of us, and they took my football. And well, I wasn't big enough or strong enough. In fact, all of us little guys, there's no way we could compete with these guys and, you know, beat them up and get it back. So we all just kind of scattered because they were chasing us away. And I ran home and I came into the house and Dad saw that I was downcast and probably crying. He goes, what's going on, Stevie? Don't ever call me that though. What's going on, Stevie? And I told him the story. These big meanies took the football and couldn't get it back. He said, who are they? I said, well, Dad, they're outside. They're still out there walking down the street. He goes, really? He walked over the door, opened it up, called him out. Said, he'd give that football back. And they swore at him, said some things to him that weren't very kind and acted real big and tough. And my dad took off his glasses. And I thought, game on. Here we go. But I was kind of behind him, kind of just watching around what's going on here. But I'll tell you, I was so proud. I felt so secure. My dad would fight for me. You know, that was pretty cool. That's our everlasting Father, same thing. He's got a heart of protection. He took off his glasses, so to speak, and he took up the cross, and he took out everything that was attacking us, sin and death and hell and Satan. King Jesus is protecting us. That's big, and he protects us now through his powerful word. Boy, get into the word. He protects us now through the fellowship of believers, accountability, encouragement. He protects us now through the Holy Spirit of God that resides within us. Greater and stronger is he that is in us than he does in the world. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and he will take off his glasses and protect you from the evil one. Also says in Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's quite a picture. You got this big banquet, all the enemies around looking on while you're just relaxing and eating. That's kind of the picture. Now, David had a whole bunch of adversaries, but in the presence of the Lord, seated at his table, they could do nothing about it. He's got them covered. He's protecting them. In fact, David had, as one thing I read, had guest rights with the Lord. In the ancient East, a host was obligated to safeguard his visitors from all enemies at all costs. so they can just enjoy themselves, even though the enemy is lurking out there, watching on and waiting like a lion, like we said. But they're comfortable, they're relaxed, no fear. Everlasting Father has our back. He protects me, even in death. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, shadows are creepy. Shadows are scary. You're not sure what's behind the shadow. When it's kind of dark, you can't see things. And death shadows are real creepy. You know, you just, and that's kind of Satan's big one. He just loves that whole death culture. And he wants us to fear it. He wants us to take our soul with him into his domain forever and ever. But the psalmist says, I don't fear. I don't fear. Why? Because you, King Jesus, my everlasting Father, is with me, even as it's covered in death and walks us right through it, conquers it. We celebrate that in a few months. Like a shepherd watching his valuable flock, provides for us, knows what we need, takes care of us, and alertly watches over us like a shepherd, protecting us, fights for us, an everlasting Father's heart. That's what he is. Man, I'm glad the all-knowing, all-powerful, everlasting Father has my back, has our back. What a great everlasting Father. He also, King Jesus, is with us, present with us, with an everlasting Father's heart. Surely goodness and love and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's with us now. He's with us forevermore and more. In fact, the whole psalm is the shepherd with his sheep all the time, always with them, watching over them, providing what is needed, protecting them all the time, is with them, not alone. I did an article a couple months ago for a magazine called Simply Local. Stephanie Taves, many of you guys know her, asked me if I'd do an article on kind of fatherhood. And I'm sure you all read it. I'm sure you did. It's big, you know. If you don't have it, I've got 400 of these in my office. Just kidding. But it was a good exercise for me, and I went to all sorts of people, ages 5 all the way up to 95, 97 maybe. And I asked them the question, two questions. One is, what do you most appreciate about your dad? And some good things were said. Man, he played with me. He showed me how to do this. He loved his wife, my mom. You know, things like that, just really healthy stuff. And then I said, what's one or two things you wish your dad, if you had a chance to talk to your dad again, what you'd tell him to do differently? I tell you what, there are a variety of things, but the biggest one, I wish he was relationally present with me. When I say relationally present with me, there were dads that were with him. They'd be in the same room, but they weren't relationally engaged with him. They're just there. There's no, I value you as a person, no interchange, no back and forth dialogue. They're just there. They're not relationally present. And they said, man, I wish my dad would have been relationally present with me. So one thing about our everlasting Father, he's with us. Never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. He's with us. He even gave us the Holy Spirit of God to be in us. Pretty incredible. I want to take a little spin right here and turn to what we talked about earlier. We've got a lot of people in the audience. It was amazing after the first service how many people came and talked to me about how they did not have a good dad. They just didn't. And in some cases, it was through divorce. Some cases, abandonment. Some cases, abuse. Some cases, just death. I actually have lost my dad. It'll be 9 years coming up this January. Challenging stuff. And it's hard to go from the earthly father looking up to the everlasting father, but we need to do that and keep our eyes on him, not on the earthly fathers. But I asked a friend of mine, Lorna, she's in our community group, if she would do, Lorna Stokey, to do a little video about her world without a really good father. And she seems to have gotten on the other side of things and went from the earthly to see the everlasting Father. And she has some really good words for us. So let's take a look at Lorna.
Good morning. My name is Lorna Stokey. And last week at our small group at our house, we had some friends over in our small group, and we were talking about the passage in Isaiah chapter 9, 1 through 7, that focused on the terms of what the child was to be called. It was Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. While focusing on the name Everlasting Father, Steve asked us a question, and he said, what do you think a good father is? Well, some people had some good answers, and I thought about it for a while, and I said, you know, I can't really relate to that question because I've never had a father that I could call on, one that I could rely on, one that was ever around. He wasn't present, nor was he someone that I could count on in a tough time, somebody I could never trust. I was left feeling alone and someone that he didn't care about. Even today, when my adult children say the word dad, or my grandson or daughter call their dad, dad, it still seems like a foreign word to me. While in high school, I learned to love the verse in Psalm 68, which says, he is the father to the fatherless. And I took that verse literally. I started to talk to Jesus about everything while in the car, in the morning when I got up, in the evening. I talked to him while I was running, throughout my classes during the day, whatever was going on in my life. Jesus was like a passenger in my car. Once in college, while traveling home with some friends about 2 miles from home, we got into a car accident. And my first reaction was to say, Jesus, we need some help. And of course, he came through. I didn't have a dad I could call on or someone to help, but Jesus seemed to always come through for me. He has been someone that has been there for me time and time again. He has always led me in the right direction, and I feel like I can access and talk to him at any time that I need. I love that he wants a relationship with me. I love that he's a father to all, through the highest of high people and the lowest of lows. I love that he has been my counselor. He has been my mighty God. He has brought me peace, and he has been an everlasting father, one that I can go to and access at any time in my life.
Amen. I like that verse. He's the father to the fatherless. And it would be easy to get bitter. It would be easy to see yourself maybe as a victim of your circumstances without a good earthly dad. But he's the father of the fathers. He covers that for you as well. That was good words by Lorna. You know what shows the everlasting father's heart the best? Now, there's several things you maybe could come up with, but I think Christmas does. Man, he left the throne room up in heaven, God the Son, came down as an embryo, started there, and lived on planet Earth in the dirt with us, all so he could become the perfect sacrifice for us. I think of Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He could have stayed up in heaven. I mean, he had it going up there. He gave it all up, came down with us, present. Philippians 2 says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. No, it was for our advantage. That's why he gave it up. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He gave it up by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. We talked about why the cross, you know? Well, it's because he saw us in our need, because we were separated from God because of our sin, and that sin needed to be taken care of. And he made the provision for that. He provided for us there. For Christ also suffered or died once for sin, one for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Romans 5 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. We've heard those stories. People jump into a burning house to pull somebody else out that they love. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, actually pushing him away, Christ died for us. You talk about an everlasting father's good heart and what he did. King Jesus came to us to save us, to be with us, to walk us from this life into the next, and to have eternity with us forever. Well, I'll tell you what, we got a variety of folks here today. I hope that those of you who understand this, that maybe it just bumped up your trust just a little bit more in our everlasting Father. There are some people here that are not a child of God, and it's not a challenging thing. Man, he paid everything for you. You've just got to surrender your life to him. And I pray that you will do that this morning. And if you do, you can do this right there. Just say, Lord, I'm going to surrender my life to you. I want to live with you as your child and you being my everlasting father. Come and talk to me and just say, hey, this is what I did. I'd like to pray with you and encourage you along the journey. We're going to take some time and read a responsive reading. That's where you read, somebody else reads, we all read together. We've got it all figured out. I'm asking Leanne to come and help me up here on the stage. And it's quite a lengthy portion of scripture, but it's good. And as we read it, just kind of bask in the goodness of our Heavenly Father, our everlasting Father, who watches over us, provides, protects, and is with us. So if you'd stand with me, I'd like to have you read this. And I think most of you guys are reasonably sharp. There's going to be something that says leader, that would be me. There's going to be something that says men, I will lead the men. There will be something that says women, Leanne will lead the women. And then it says all. Got it? Some good scriptures. Okay, you ready to roll? All right. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
For those who are led by the Spirit of God are called the children of God.
The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows.
Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
To us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called
Wonderful Counselor,
Mighty God,
Everlasting Father,
Everlasting Father,
Everlasting Father.
Amen. Let's remain standing. We've got a song we're going to sing about the goodness of our Father. And once again, if you want to just not sing and just bask in the reality of him being a great dad to you, that's fine, but it's got good words, and let's sing this together. You're a good, good father.
Tender
Pray, let's bow our heads. Just thank our everlasting Father, King Jesus, for who he is to us and how much he loves us, how much he provides for us. We are grateful children. Thank you. Thank you for watching over us with a good father's eye and protecting us. Someday we'll look back and see many places you protect. We can't see him now. We are just resting in you in the presence of our enemies. And thank you for being with us every step of the way, all through this life on crazy planet Earth and through death even into the next life, forever and ever. You're with us. You're not going to leave us. You're not going to forsake us. You're a good, good dad. We are grateful. And we thank you as your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.